We are in the middle of Simin Samach Aleph. The laws of Samach Beis. Samach Beis. Now, I don't know, we're up to Halacha Gimel. Halacha Beis, not Halacha Beis. Halacha Gimel, I don't know, Shara, Mr. You told me. I can't figure out what Halacha Gimel means. Samach Beis. We're up to Samach Beis, Halacha Beis. Okay, halacha beis. So then we have halacha gimel. Keshem the first beis. Keshem sheyesh Israel oinah b'masav maton. Kach yesh Israel oinah b'schirus u'v'kablonus u'v'chiluf matbeya. Pasha, the same way you're not allowed to wrongdo your friend when it comes to mekach memkar. The simple law, the simplest understanding of oinah by mekach memkar is if something is you're not allowed to overcharge something more than a sixth its value, or a fifth its value. Sorry, a fifth of its value. If something the going rate is $100, let's say, really it's $25. Let's say the going rate is $100. So $100, what is a fifth of $100? So you'll tell me 20, but it's really 25, because when we say a fifth, we mean a fifth from the outside. So it means a fourth. So a fourth of $100 is $25. So if you charge $126, you have violated the law of Oinah. Now you have to take that with a grain of salt, because that's not so simple. There are a lot of modern day world, it's a very complicated issue. Let's just talk about Medina de Gemara. And from there you have to expand upon it. And there are many, many, many things that have to be understood. But if something is worth $100, you overcharge for $126, then that is a violation of Oinah. Same way there's a prohibition when it comes to selling. The same thing applies to rental. If the going rate for an apartment is $100 a month and you're renting the apartment for $126, that's also technically a violation of Oinah, unless you have another set of circumstances. With the kablonis, contract work, I'm paying you to build for me a box to do construction, and the going rate for such a job is $100. And I'm charging you $126. That's also I know. Uvechilif matbea, dealing forex, or you deal with a stockbroker, all these type of things where you're doing you're exchanging currencies. So uvechilif matbea, there's also if you cheat your friend for more than a fifth, that's also a din of Aina. Mekachtos. And you get your money back, the contract is cancelled. If it's exactly, the mistake is exactly $125, instead of charging you $126, I charge you $125. The rule is, you do not have a right to demand back all of the money and return the product, but you can demand back the mistake, the $25. If it is anything less than $125 or $124, the sale stands. So there are three levels. Can we have a similar example? We have an object. The object is worth $100. That, and I'm selling it to you. If I sell it to you for $126, the buyer can say, Mekachtos, I want my $126 back and take back the object. Mekachtos. If the sale was for $124, then the sale stands. Buyer beware. You should have made an investigation and you could have got the object for $100 instead of overpaying $24. Too bad for you. He got you. He charged you $124. It's within his right. It's within his right to charge you a high price. But if he charges you $125 on the dot, then the rule is he cannot demand mekachtos, he cannot demand I want my object back, I'll give you back the object, give me back my money, but he can demand back the $25. I'll keep the object, you keep $100, give me back $25. And this rule applies not just for mekach memkar, it applies for rental, it applies for contract work, and applies for exchanging everything. Everything applies, the rules apply. Now you have to also understand that there's a certain amount of leeway when it comes to the standards of society. And then there's exceptions when it comes to food. Food has its own set of rules. Sometimes food will more machmer, sometimes we are more makel. Okay, so all of these things have sets of rules. But this is just the basic halacha from the time of the Gemara. Now halacha gimel. Now I don't know. I can't figure. I read this at least 10 times, and I can't figure out what this means. Maybe you can please overhead. Yeah. So every
impacted it.
It depends. Every case is different. Every case.
Selling you a TV.
What?
I'm selling you a TV.
Okay.
It costs me $100.
To make?
No.
A used or a new?
I'm a business.
Okay.
I have a TV product.
Okay.
You're saying I can't charge $100.
Okay, I don't know the answer. It's very complicated.
It's not the individual. No, it's the fair market value of the whole market.
Right.
I understand, but I happen to have a high rental.
You would have put it on.
So your cost is not 100, your cost is higher.
Well, so what gets added?
Everything reflects in the price.
I don't know the answer. It's very complicated. Every case is different. Everyone has overhead. Everyone. So time to Gemara, there's also overhead. Every case, every circumstance has to be judged individually. It's very, I don't know the answer.
What the standard of living is in that area.
Also, there are certain rules that if the buyer can check it out, today anyone can go online and you can finally get a price. If you're willing to pay someone a ridiculous amount of money for whatever reason, and all you have to do is go ask someone or go onto the computer and type in the number, type in the model, and you can find out what the price is. So you have tainus that I charge you $30 instead of giving it to you for $30 cheaper. So the rules don't necessarily apply in many circumstances. There are a lot of different variables. Also, you have reputation. I'm sure you will go online to these websites where they have 20 different stores, vendors that sell a product, and the price can vary. And then there are ratings. And there are certain stores that have 5-star ratings, great customer service, the shipping, handling. So it's kedai for you to pay $50 more to deal with a store that has a great reputation. You're not just paying then for the product, you're paying for the reputation. So there's so many variables which have to be considered when you deal with, today you don't really hear so much dinei Torah on Onah. You hear misunderstandings, and you don't hear the, I was overcharged. You don't hear that too often. If you, this is the price you agree to pay, it's the price you agree to pay. Why did you agree to such a price? I like the person. I want to deal with this individual. I trust him. I know if there's a problem, I can come back to him. Okay, and then you find out he was a fraud. He's a little different than anyone else. Right? He disappears, and the merchandise was secondhand merchandise and stolen merchandise, and everyone is the same. Okay, please help me figure out halacha gimel. Hanosei v'nosein be'emuna einei choshesh le'oino.
If someone is
haggle and baggle.
You're arguing about the price. You go to the store and you say, how much is this? He says, This, in the
usual
line, you walk in, how much is this? This is $100. He says, I'll give you 20. He says, no, it's
80.
And he says, so even...
You're bargaining.
Right, even though the price, when the first price is
100
and the real price is
30,
it's
zicha na.
Yeah. There's no anoa in haggling. That's what I think he means.
It's handle. Hanoisei v'noisein be'emuna.
It's a real...
Ketzan, what does this mean? He explains. Chayfet ze bekoch vekoch lekachtif. Kach ani rotze lehistak erbo. I purchased this for such and such, and therefore I want to make a profit. I'm not letting this out of my hands unless I make a profit. I want to deal with the used car salesman. And he said to me, the whole story was such kinev, what was going on. And I said, I showed him, you're a gun of this, not your car, you have no right to do this. He said, I don't care. I never, in my whole career, I never let a car leave my hands unless I made a profit. I said, it's not your car. This car got to you because it was a mistake. It was a mekach tos, and it wasn't supposed to be traced. Look at the paperwork. I don't care. It's in my lot. It's in my lot. It doesn't leave my lot unless I make a profit. I have to have a profit. So here we have, he tells him, this is what I purchased it for, and I must make a profit. Kach ani roitze lehistaker bo. I want to make a certain profit. Af al pi shehu nis'ano b'likicha. So even though it appears that you are being cheated, I'm paying way too much. If you have only paid $100, how dare you charge me $150? Since I am aware, it appears he's saying that I am paying more than I'm supposed to. V'chol ha-mis'ane eina reshay l'hoinos achenim b'shvil zeh. And what does that mean? Anyone that is mis'ane, I don't know what this means.
You have no permission to do any rest of the verdict. to knock the price up.
Okay. Mikol makom ze mutar. In this situation, it's permitted for me to pay $150, and I do not have the power at a later point in time to demand a refund. Shaharei ze kimifore shlo. Shlo yismoich al shovi hamikoch. Don't rely on the value of the merchandise. El al hadamim shenosan hubado. Whatever, but the money that you agreed to pay. So basically what he seems to be saying is that if you agree to overpay, you have agreed. If you are aware from the very start, it's what is it?
What he's talking about is that when the seller bought it, he got cheated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He paid too much for it.
Okay.
And now he says, now I want to sell it.
Okay.
And I want to make a profit, even though in terms of its value, it's way over the value.
But since I want to pass on the loss to someone else.
That's right.
I want to pass on the loss to someone else. And if you're going to be a sucker to be the one, so be it. And don't come back to me later on and say that you were cheated. I'm telling you in advance, I was cheated, and that's why I'm cheating you. So he's basically saying, if you agree to overpay, you can't come back and demand a refund.
I think it means he says the onah is based on the price that I paid. So I can't charge more than 25% more than that.
That's a chiddush. He's saying a chiddush because saying like, that's the baseline.
Right.
The baseline is how much I paid for the object,
right.
Even though market value it's worth a lot more.
A lot less.
So let's say you take a person and say I'm charging you 200%. It's clearly or not. You agree? I agree. So you're saying you see
I'm not sure
you're
not, that's what
okay, I hear what you're saying, okay. All right, so we'll leave with that. To some degree, if you agree to overpay, at least to some degree, you do not have a right to come back at a later point in time and demand a refund. And pretty much, I think that rule operates today as well. Today, this is the price. You can go online, you can check out what the price is. You want to pay more. Obviously, there's a reason why you want to pay more, because you the convenience of dealing with me or the trust you have in my customer service, that's it. And there's no refunds. You're not allowed to do anything to the object itself to make it look better, to deceive the buyers. Before you sell an animal, to give it to drink subin bran, it causes its skin to expand and the hairs to stand straight. To paint old kelim, to make them look like they're new when they're not. This is forbidden. Now, what about packaging? Is packaging forbidden? Absolutely not. It's a very important fine line between the two. Over here, you're taking the product itself, and you're deceiving the buyer to make him think that it's new. You're taking some parts, old parts, and you're cleaning them. And really, you're refurbishing them. It's a refurbished product. It's not the same. It's not. We all know that a refurbished product is not the same as a new product. That is ona. You can demand mekach tos. However, if you take a product and you enhance its appearance by putting it in the most beautiful package, or as Yaakov Avinu did when he gave a gift to Esav, v'revach tosimu bein eder le'eder, I want you to spread out the cattle. In order that it should appear, Rashi says, in order that it should appear that I'm giving Esav a beautiful a gift, Yaakov could have went and crushed all the animals together. Esav, I'm an Isha Emes. I'm only giving you 1,000 animals. If I spread it out, it looks like I'm giving you 10,000 animals. Yaakov wasn't Machmir. Yaakov told his servants, when you give the gift to Esav, make sure it looks like you're giving him a very significant gift by spreading out the animals. V'revach tosimu ben eder el eder. He put the animals in big boxes. What? It's a gift. So you want to say, but it's still Yaakov, you're giving a gift. You appear to be giving a person more than what you're really giving. It's true. It's not he's not charging him. It's a gift. Be happy with what you get, but there's still a din of aynah. You're showing you're giving someone more. Like the classic example is all the Mishloach Manos. Over the years, I was always amazed how they can take a tangy taffy and they can make out of it. Unbelievable.
I
beautiful packaging, box and ribbons, and you open up and what's inside? nothing. There's nothing to eat. And sometimes you give him shalach manos, he gives me very, very simple. You get someone.
All these problems, they have the government regulations about. You can't give a big package with half full.
Nothing, really. A waste of space.
10%, a lot of people who violate it, they do that.
That's fascinating.
That's why it says in like cereal boxes, contents may settle. Because they have a problem.
Contents may settle.
They fill it up, and then you shake it,
it goes down. Interesting, fascinating. It's wasted space.
If you put in less, it has to be at least 90% of the package.
But sometimes you have, you get like electronic, very sensitive things, glass. It comes in these massive boxes. The package, the object is like
3%. You can get it from Amazon and eBay, you also pack it up.
Sure. A lot of times.
He's saying that it's illegal. He's saying you know how to do this.
That's only from the packaging tells you about the inside.
Yeah.
You go to a store, you buy television, and it comes into a 100-inch box.
Yeah.
You think there's at least a 100-inch television, and you open it, you see a 9-inch television. That's a but if it's a big television, they could pack it.
So it's protected.
Okay. But this is an important halacha in the din of oyna. Oyna is only in when you change.
It's like people sending shalach manos for a present and it comes in a Tiffany box and it's not a Tiffany.
Right. That's really misleading. That's really different.
Well, they tell you that on the thing.
Right,
they tell you drained weight.
Okay, but oyna is only when you change the object itself, you change the packaging, the presentation, that is not a din of oyna. That is.
Well, that's not
oyna. That's value.
That's
fixing
it for sale.
You pretty it up.
You're fixing it up for sale.
That's like packaging. Painting the house before you see it doesn't mean it's new. Here it's saying you take an object and you paint it in a way which makes it look like it's new. Okay, let's go further. Halacha, hey, v'chein asur l'ariv ma'at peros, ro'ah ma'ay peros yafi. You're not allowed to mix. Okay, gasoline is 10% ethanol. It's not the real thing, but at least they tell you. V'chein asur l'ariv ma'at peros, ro'ah ma'ay peros yafi. K'dei l'mochem b'cheskas yafi. L'ariv mashka ra b'yafi. V'mchoye tamo nigar mutar. But if it's obviously noticeable to those to the buyer, it's mutar l'ariv ki alokech yargash. He can sense that it's not pure. Halacha vav mutar l'chein. Incentives. Okay, are you allowed to give incentives to your customer to come into your store? So are you allowed to distribute to the children who come into the store to give you candies? The children say to the parents, oh, let's go to this store because in this store they give us candies. Why? Because the competitor can do the same. Who's stopping him? It's just the marketing gimmick. It works. You're allowed to undersell less than the market lower cost than the market value. Today,
the other one doesn't.
And the market cannot protest. You're allowed to sell some below cost in order as an incentive to get people to buy your product.
And that's probably there's only another store in town.
That's how long is it today?
If there's the only reason why you would do this is that there's another store in town undercut. Of course, you go to business.
The problem with the Chinese, they would dump on the market.
Walmart.
And they would wipe everybody out.
Monopolies, yeah.
They would wipe everybody out, and the government has rules about that.
Yeah, this is, okay, I don't know. This is, my father has a lot of chidushim on all this stuff. Zayin hamocher oy shokel choser lechaver afil loyve gechavim oyve belav. A person that measures or weighs choser, now he goes into serious stuff. When you actually cheat someone, if you give a person less than what he paid for, afil loyve gechavim oyve belav, even to a non-Jew, shenemol esasu ovel bamida bamishkol v'avam mesura. He may not do wrongdoing in measurement, in weight, and in number, things that you sell by number. A person that goes and uses false weights, false measures, cannot possibly possibly do tshuva? You have deceived and cheated so many people. How are you going to give back to the entire community? Even if a person is going to, I'll do tshuva, I'll go and I'll pave the roads, so everyone in the community will walk on my roads. It's still not enough. Ein zos teshuva haguna. It's not proper. I'm making excuses. Ksiv. Let's go further. Ksiv. Lo yelucha b'chizcha. Let's go further. Everyone has their own horror stories. Ksiv lo yelucha chisischa even v'oven gedoyla uketana. The pasuk says you should not have in your pocket two stones, even v'oven. I have one stone when the inspectors come, and I have another stone when the customers come.
Two sets of books.
Lo you may not have in your pocket even a counterweight. Even v'oven gedolu katana. Not next. Lo yelucha beveitzcha. Another. Lo you may not have in your home efa v'efa. Two different measuring utensils. Gedolu katana. Instead, even shleima for tzedek yelach, one stone that is complete and is righteous. Efa shleima, a measuring tool that is shleima for tzedek yihi yelach v'goymer. Now along comes the kitzur and he gives us a nice little drasha. He makes a drasha. V'tevas b'chitzcha v'chem v'tevas b'veitzcha nirin l'cho'ira kimiyutarin. It appears that in this pasuk there are two extra words. When the pasuk begins, lo yihya l'cho b'chitzcha even v'oven, the meaning of the pasuk would have been the same even if the word was missing. If the pasuk would have said lo yihya l'cho even v'oven g'dol l'katana, we would not have noticed anything is missing in the pasuk. But the Torah went out of its way to add an extra word b'chitzcha. Further in the pasuk, lo yihya l'cho b'veitzcha efa v'efa, if the pasuk would not have the word beveischa, would just say lo yelucha efa veefa gedola katana, we would not have known anything is missing in the pasuk. But the Torah went out of its way to end in these two words. Why? So it gives us a very powerful mussar. V'tevas bechischa v'chem v'tevas beveischa nirin l'chor k'miyusarin v'darash rabbi z'chon l'racha lo yelucha bechischa maman. If a person finds himself in a situation where he doesn't have parnasa, he does not have in his kiss, in his pocket, he doesn't have anything. You know why? You know why there's no money in your pocket? Matam. Why is lo yebucha b'chitzcha? It's because you have two sets of books. You have two stones. One for the inspector, one for the customers. Mishum even v'oven. Period. Next part of the pasuk. Lo yebucha b'chitzcha. Let's say you'll find yourself in a situation where you don't have food in the home. You don't have in your bayis your needs. Tzerochecha. Matam. You know why? Mishum eifa ve'eifa. It's because you have two different sets of weights. Avo, what should a person do? Even shleima v'tzedek. Period. Meaning, im yiyah b'veischa. Im yiyah kama. I will even shleima v'tzedek im yiyah. But if you'll have one stone, that shleima v'tzedek, then go backwards in the pasuk, then b'veischa yiyah l'cha mamon. You'll have in your home mamon. V'chein likewise, eifa shleima v'tzedek im yihiyu, if you'll have a shleima v'tzedek, then b'veischa yihiyu l'cha tzerochecha. Period. Next, od amru rabbo senu zechem l'vrocha ma yasa adam v'yis asher. What should a person do to be zechem to ashirus? Yisav yitain be'emun. You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to give tzedaka. You don't have to be nizir lashon hara. You don't have to do all these things. All you have to do is be honest. To be honest, that's all you need to do. Yisav yitain be'emunah.
The hardest thing.
Just be honest. Don't have no chumras. Stay away from all the schoolers and all the chumras. Just be honest. Yisa v'yitein v'amuna v'yivakesh rachamim m'mish she'ho'isha shalo amim espalel shenemar li ha'kesef v'li ha'zav. To me is kesef. Hashem says I am in charge of who gets the kesef v'li ha'zav. Okay, so that's all. That's the most important halacha. Tzarech limdoid v'lishko b'ayin yofeh. A person has to be generous. Sheyia oidef al hamida, more than the measurement. Shenemar eifa shleima v'tzedek yihia l'cha. Ma tamlema v'tzedek. What does it mean v'tzedek? Amr tar tzedek mishalcha v'sein lo. Be righteous from your own and give more. I never understood why it is the standard in society, at least among religious Jews. Go, let's say, to a takeout store and you ask them, can I have a half a pound of coleslaw? Oh, you want a half a pound of coleslaw? Well, you know, this is the whole world. Well, you know, we can't be accurate. And how much do you charge for a pound? Well, it's $5 a pound, so it's $2.50 for half a pound. But you know, we can't be accurate. We can't just go figure out exactly half a pound. So we'll do the best that we can.
Yeah, three quarters.
So we'll give you three quarters, a little bit more, and you're going to pay for it. That's the standard.
Yeah.
So, and what about the container? Well, there are different minhagim. In some stores, it's the it's some stores.
No, they all reduce the digital to tequila. Any store that doesn't is in violation of
New York State law. Okay.
Various laws depending on what the box.
There are different containers.
Have to make a case of the box, but not the plastic liner in the box. That's the law.
There are different containers.
I can tell you.
There are different types of containers.
But you're talking commercial, you're talking wholesale, and you're talking retail.
Okay, that makes
when they do it this way, this technique, I'm coming to argue with the whole world, and obviously they'll tell me I know nothing about business, and they'll go out of business, but they are violating what it says here in the halacha. The way it should work is, if I come into a store, and according to my little puny little mind, I come into a store and you ask them for half a pound of coleslaw, they should charge me $2.50, and they should give me a little bit more. They take. That's not the way the whole world.
Yeah, that's what it says.
This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch.
Right, they do it. They do.
Where do they do this? No one does this.
Let's say you go to Mises and you ask for coleslaw. He'll first measure the coleslaw and then only have the juice later. If you
not the juice. I'm talking about No.
I'll tell you what happens a lot of times. The guys go to Erlach. They put a tear on the scale for the packaging.
Yes,
and then
first,
they put a little
first.
Bit like what we used to do. The guy would get ready to put the box on the scale, press in the weight of the box, throw his yarmulke in the box, and it added another point or two, and then that's what they did to your hand or whatever it is, add a little more weight, and then take it out and start weighing. So it automatically came out, the tear was not just for the box, but a little extra. And a lot of places do that. I mean, the ones that want to be careful, but you have to watch who's doing the weighing that day, because when the inspectors come around and every once in a while they spot check, you could have a big problem. And once they catch you, even for the minutest amount, they want to prove they're earning their salary, they could shut you down right there until somebody comes to to calibrate your scales or something like that.
I'm saying something else. I'm not talking about the weight. I'm not talking about the liquid. I'm not talking about the weight of the container. I'm talking about the actual product. I ask for a half a pound of coleslaw. A pound of coleslaw costs $5. Argument's saying half a pound is $2.50. How much do I walk out paying? I'm paying $2.75, $2.80, $2.64. That's not what I asked for. I want a half a pound. The half a pound is $2.50.
Then you tell them to take
so they'll give you a little less.
To take
off. They'll always give you at least $2.50. At least.
And how much will they charge me?
At least the amount.
Whatever the scale says to charge. That's not the way it works. That's not the standard in the industry.
Grams does he have to give you more?
That's not halacha.
The way industry is set up, established, is probably by the Goyish world, that's why the Jews do the same thing. The way the standard is, if you want a half a pound itself, honestly, there's no way we can be exact. We're going to approximate. We'll approximate whatever you want, a little bit less, a little bit more. But we're going to charge you for every teeny mashu.
Above.
No, not above. If you want, give me approximately.
No, that's what Shmuel is saying, that they actually pre-weigh it.
No, they pre-weigh the container.
No,
the container.
But he's not saying that. He's saying that they in other words, they want to make a sale.
Right.
So they're gonna give you more than you ask.
Or less. Whatever they use.
In other words, you'll end up with three quarters of a pound.
Yeah, but you don't know. I only.
And you're paying, but no, they'll charge
you. Then you say
no,
take
you're
off.
For three quarters.
And they're charging
you pay for. But
then you can say take
off. It's what you pay for as opposed to what you
get. Right, but if you tell them, you will say, take it off. If he walks in and he tells them,
they're not allowed to charge you the extra. If you ask for a pound, you open up the Gemara and it says, if you ask for a pound, they can't charge you half a pound. Even if they give you more than half a pound, they're only allowed to charge you half a pound.
You said the kid would have shot because he walks into the store and says, I want a pound of coleslaw. And the guy gives him a pound and a quarter and says, it's more. The kid will say, I don't have the money. I only have money for a pound of coleslaw.
So I'll give him a little bit less than a pound.
No, he'll never give him less than a pound. You have a drop more, you take it on the same amount.
But that's an exceptional case. I'm talking about the way it is established. If you go into a store, there's no, the customer has to pay for every little mashu that he gets. There is no such thing as this halacha.
Can I tell you something about your experience? It's weight.
Men never argue. I was in a place that gave her coleslaw. She yelled out, drain the juice.
Alright, let's go further.
The woman is yelling, drain the juice by the coleslaw.
I just mean to say is the attitude in the market is you're going to get the customer for every possible thing you can get him for. There's no such thing as an attitude that if we're taking your money, we're selling you something, we have an obligation to give you a little bit more than what you're paying for. That attitude doesn't exist.
I disagree. Meisner's gives you more all the time.
They give you some store.
It depends who's behind the counter.
Right.
Listen, there's some guys who really give you less and then you catch them right away. I don't mean the particular person.
I mean the system is set up where you're paying by weight. If you walk into a store, I'm not kidding. Today everything.
I'm saying about getting cheated.
Today in the bakery today, it's over the last 5-10 years. Everything has changed in the bakeries. Everything ready is prepackaged, so everything is ready. So you know the price before you start in the chlam. That's by mile, because now in the very beginning, you don't have to ask me half a pound of sponge cake. It's already today. Doesn't exist. Everything already is 90% is already put into packages. But in the olden days, and it's still true in the takeout stores, you ask for something, and whatever you want, you're going to pay for. The burden is upon the customer, not upon the store. You want a half a pound, so you have a choice. Either we'll give you a little bit more than a half a pound, or we'll give you a little bit less than a half a pound, because it's impossible to give you exactly half a pound. And how much are you going to pay? You're going to pay whatever the scale says.
You went into the store, you ordered a half a pound of bread, and they measured out a half a bread, and it was a drop below the half a pound.
Yeah.
We take a little piece and they have for it.
That's not the bakeries that I go to.
Okay, so you're talking about a bakery that's cutting corners the way I'm saying, no, not
to go to a lot of bakeries. They charge you whatever you want, they're going to charge you for.
There are Erlacha people. There are a lot of Erlacha people. There are some people who they want to get you. That's all.
All right.
Well, they do. You know where they do that? The matzah bakery, they put on, you can see a little piece.
Oh, the matzo bakeries are still follow the standard.
They rip you off.
The
weight was short.
It's very important you let them know because they fix everybody. I went into a cottage cheese.
Yeah.
The cottage cheese was old, had mold on it. I came back and I said, I just bought it. The date is overdated. So the manager says, we don't stock this cottage cheese. So I stand by the counter, and there's 50 people in the store, and I raise my voice. I said, you mean to tell me you don't stock? Are you stocking old, predated stuff? Go into your shelf and give a look if it's there. The manager came running out of the office. He said, please take what you want. I said, no, I want you to go there and check it out.
Whew, you're a tough customer.
You just found out? I think this is they will be good to you because they get a credit for you.
And it affects other people. It's very important.
They see you coming.
They see you coming, they run.
They get your own radio.
You put it on YouTube.
Let's go a few more halachas. Let's go quick. Halacha yot. Tzarech lindayt. Let's go further. Tzarech lindayt kiminik hamedina. Please, let's go further. They're not changed. The place where the custom is to give a heaping measure. Don't give an even measure. Even if the buyer wants, they'll give you less money. Don't change the custom. You're going to create confusion, and it's going to lead to corruption. In the place where the custom is to give a flat measure, do not give heaping measure. You have to follow a standard in order not to bring about confusion. People who observe, they see the measure this fashion. And you've been misled to believe this is the standard, and this is how everyone receives. And that's going to lead to confusion, and people are going to be cheated. Halacha Yud Aleph: Chayavim Roshei HaKohol LaHamid Mimunim SheYihyu MeChazrim Al HaChanuyos. They have to inspect the stores. Now, notice the earliest hashkacha was never for kashrus. Kashrus was never an issue. The inspectors in Chazal, the earliest times, was for Choshen Mishpat, to make sure there was no cheating. The scales, today the government took this over to a large degree. You never hear of a store that there's a hechsher, that we are certain there's no fraud. The vendor pays its taxes and it doesn't cheat the customers, and everything here is come from kosher money. You never heard such a thing today. In ancient times, what?
Doesn't exist.
So it's an amazing thing. We rely on the government for this. It's amazing. And Maker Adin, that's what we really need to hashgach for kashrus. Who would go in and play around with the kashrus? You have to be more nizar in the dine mamonis than in the dine iser. Chayav rosh yakohol Hamid Mamunim Shayu Mechazrim Al Hachanuyos Vechol Mi Shen Nimtso Ito Mido Chasera Oy Mishkol Choser Oy Moznai Mikul Kolim Lehakoysoy. He gets physical punishment. Ulukonsoy Kinira Beinehem, according to what the Dayanim see fit. Yud Beis Also Lodom Lahashais Mido Chaser Bebeso. You're not allowed to store faulty weights or measures in your home, even if you're not using them. Obi Chanusoy in your store. If you keep faulty measures in your home, in your store, you overload a law, you may not have in your possession. Even if you want to use it as a urinal, something disgusting, you'll never come to use this to measure someone's coleslaw.
I want to use it as a paperweight.
Right? You want to use it as a paperweight, use the urinal? It's also, you know why? The customer doesn't know what this was used for. That's what it says. Also, Shema Yavai Misheni Yodea. One day you'll say, you know what? Why should I use this as a urinal? I'll use this to measure the coleslaw for the customers. Yeah. He doesn't know the difference. Let's say you need to have a seal from the government. Then, since this measure, its seal has expired, the date has expired, then there's no concern. You may come to mistakenly use it for a customer.
But it still has to be the true way.
Of course. No, but
Shuma means it still has to be the true way. You can't have, if it's, you can't use it, that's a different thing. But if to have a false way.
No, it seems over here it's a false way. You have
No, false way doesn't
the
work. There's no way of getting out of it.
No, it's only a false way when there's a concern you may come to use it. If there's no concern whatsoever that you'll come to use, then it's not called a false way. It's not a weight. That's what he seems to be saying. If you have a standard where the weights have to have seals, have to have a license, then if it doesn't have that license, it's not called a weight. It's not called a weight. There's no concern. You'll never be allowed to use it. Let's go further. Halacha Yigimel, Al-Machazir, Al-Achar, Dover, L'Knoysa, Oilis, Sochroi, Bein Karko, Bein Metatlim, Bein Moivikov, Bein Mishol, Chushu, Al-Hadamim, and you already established the price. This is the sugya of Oni, A poor man is trying to pick up a loaf of bread that's hefker on the street, and you come along and you chap it before him. So over here, you're trying to buy something, and then someone comes along, and he purchases it, buys it, chaps it away from you. Nikra Rasha. You're wicked. This person is a wicked person because there was someone else that was closing in on the deal. And the person who was closing in on the deal went through effort to close the deal, and you chopped it away from the very last moment. But let's say you have not yet set a price. So they're still negotiating, and you come along and you want to chop it away. Someone else can come along and take it away. Then goes new halacha. If you have a pizza store, you're not allowed to open up another pizza store next door. Renting, and that's another major sugya. When is the laws of when are the laws of Hasagas will apply? Basically, it only applies when there's not enough business for both. If there's enough business for both, then there is no Isser of Hasagas Kavul. It's a very big problem today, because the truth is, there's not enough business for everyone. There's not. But technically, there is. So when that's the problem. Technically, I have a pizza store in a small community. Let's look at a small community. So there's one pizza store. So the pizza store, he makes a nice parnasa, makes an average, a decent parnasa, and now someone wants to open another pizza store. So right away, the first pizza store takes the second pizza store to a din Torah. So is hasagas kavul? You take away my business. So you take out the city records. How many from people are there in the community? How many children does each couple have? How many schools are there? And you make a cheshbon. How much does a person make? He'll never tell you how much he makes. So you make an evaluation. You'll hire people in the industry, people who know from other restaurants. They'll try to figure out how much parnas he's making. Is that above standard? Is that above above average? Below average? And on paper, it comes out there's enough business for both. So the hands of the Dayanim are tied. What can we sell? There are three schools, there are this number of couples in the community, these are the children, and our experts, the person who owns the restaurant, he has testified that based upon his knowledge of the industry, he's making a certain amount of money, which is beyond what he needs to make a livelihood. That's not necessarily a reason. And therefore, no, there's no hasag askavol. So the other person opens up the pizza store, and they both go out of business. So something doesn't. Something is not right. Something is not right. Shul, okay, classic case. You have a shul. A shul needs members. A shul needs loyalty. There are so many things that go into a shul. Now another guy in the corner opens up another shul. He has a rich father-in-law. He gives him $500,000. He opens up a shul, and half the people come, takes away membership dues, takes away the whole rental. Technically speaking, we know we live in Flatbush. There are so many people. Okay, so you're right. So Hassan, the din Torah, you lost, but the shul next door was destroyed. So something doesn't make sense. So there is a Hasagas Kavul. So you say, well, it's not, you have a million, you have still 10 people. You didn't go out of business. It's not the same.
You can't pay the rent.
Where do you draw the line?
Rabbi Levi, going back to the pizza.
Yeah.
The second pizza store,
someone charges
more than the first one.
Yeah.
In other words, the first
doesn't matter.
One charges a dollar slice.
Doesn't matter.
The second one
charges $2.
$2 a slice.
It doesn't. People.
It's a different pizza. It's a different product.
People like the product, but
the dry goods thing.
But it's not. The product is not such a difference. The difference in the quality of the pizza is not such a difference that it should allow you to put someone else out of business. Pizza is pizza. A shul is a shul. He makes this drasha, makes that drasha, Hasidish type of drasha, Litvish drasha, Halach, Agada, Ashkenaz Svar. These are very delicate questions. The bottom line is, technically, it's always the same thing. Technically, the Rabbanim, you go to a Din Torah, you lose. I never heard of a story in modern times where a person went to a Din Torah, Hasagas Kavul, And he won.
Really? Yes, it happened.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure. On Avenue J, the bakery. That was the first time in the late 70s when Lowen's opened up on the same block with Chiffon.
In 70s? 70s, we're talking about ancient history. Okay, that's
they put a harem on Lowen.
Yes, it did.
Okay, that was the 70s. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go to the 90s.
78, sorry.
The 90s.
They didn't close, but they went out of business.
They didn't close. They lost business, they didn't listen.
A lot of people obey the...
The harem. The harem. Today they wouldn't obey the harem either.
In 78, they were gone in about 1980.
Yeah.
The pizza guy said, I'm not only going to open up a store if you're only going to give me hashkacha. And they made that deal. Nobody else can get hashkacha on a pizza store.
No one else can get hashkacha on a pizza store. But you didn't get a new hashkacha, someone come along with new hashkacha.
So that was
his credit. Kenneth Brander. That someone explained this to me, that he set up a society there where you can't have competition. He did that not only for, I think, for shuls also. Someone explained to me that that's very unique. Kenneth Brander. He's now the head of... The Jewish. So that they have something very unique there. They have a very strong community. But I don't know, it's very sad. You always hear these stories, where, technically speaking, anytime you go to a Din Torah, you're going to lose, especially shuls. You're going to lose. There's no way you're going to be able to prevent someone else from going to a shul even next door to you. Why? Because according to the technical law, if there's enough business for both, and you're offering a different service, like you're saying, so you win. But we know there's something wrong. There has to be something wrong, because the fact is, it ruins the other person. So how can you say, Hasagas Gelo means you're not ruining it for someone? Why are you ruining it for someone? Everyone get. So I don't know, this is... What?
They went against Veretsky when they bought Edelman's.
Veretsky?
Yeah. Heimlin went against Veretsky because they bought the two properties on the...
Yes.
Heimlin never bought Veretsky.
Veretsky, they made it in Torah against Veretsky.
Because Heimlin wanted the whole...
Heimlin lost.
No, Veretsky said to Heimlin, when you listen to the Torahs, we'll go with you to the Torahs.
Okay, I don't know the politics. I don't know.
Heimlin wanted everything on the block.
Right. They wanted everything, and... Veretsky said there's a Din Torah that they had. Kalibach had the Din Torah against Chaim Berlin, and the Heschel, I'm saying,
I don't know.
He didn't want to listen to the Psalm, and Rav Moshe said he's a late Sayyid. So he said, when you listen to the Din Torah, we'll go with your Din Torah. Until then, we have no obligation.
Okay, if you say, I don't know, if you say something. So this is the sad that's how it is. Okay, one other thing here. There is one area, we're out of time, but there is one area in halacha that is not, that these halachas is a new frontier. I used to work in this business, I still do part-time. New frontier is internet marketing. See, today in the world, the real world, with a real store, you have a store, there's monopoly, and there is Ani HaMalach B'Charara. There are a lot of laws, a lot of guidelines, a lot of it already has been established by the government, international, but online, it's a new frontier, and technology keeps on changing. I'll just give you one example. It's hard to explain this example. There are certain spyware, or I'm called spyware, where let's say you they beg you to download a toolbar.
Cookies.
A toolbar. They want you to download on your browser a toolbar. A toolbar, they gave you an incentive. I used to do this. I used to offer people incentives to offer the toolbars. They have the news, and they have games, and you can look up people's dresses and so on and so forth. But when they download the toolbar, they are secretly downloading a program behind the scenes which monitors your website activity. So every time you go to a website, the toolbar knows exactly where you're going. Now 99% of these, not 99%, but most of these toolbars that are monitoring where you are going, not cookies, it's much more sophisticated than cookies. It's full-time. There are servers that are monitoring, following you around. When you go to a website, they right away know exactly where you've gone. A computer knows where you're going. And you have no idea, they know. And what do they do? Oh, he's going to this website. So this website is interested in this and he wants. And therefore, let's now set a pop-up. Uh-huh. There'll be an advertisement. Yeah. Okay, so then there's technology to counter the pop-ups and so on and so forth. Fine. But Now, let's say you want to sell someone, I guess, a pair of shoes. So a person, you have a store, and you advertise on Google, or you advertise on any of the you advertise that when a person types in a certain keyword to buy a certain type of pair of shoes, your advertisement should appear. If they click on your advertisement, it costs you a fortune. To pay retail, to advertise on the major websites where you get quality, targeted traffic, it costs a fortune. So let's say someone wants to buy a certain pair of sneakers, they type in the sneakers, your advertisement is there, you click, you're paying, let's say, 50 cents. So someone clicks on that, on your advertisement. You're hoping he's going to go to the store and he's going to buy the pair of sneakers for $50, $75. Most of the time he doesn't. But for the few times that the customer buys the pair of sneakers, it's worth it to pay 50 cents every time someone clicks on your advertisement. I have now installed a toolbar. I was able to convince some shmegegi to download this stupid toolbar, which monitors everything, every place he goes. Now I see he went to this store to buy a pair of sneakers. So you know what? When he's there, that store to buy a pair of sneakers, I will now present a pop-up on either a different company, or better yet, the same. There's the big chiddush. The same company.
But
I get the commission. That company also has an affiliate program, which is begging people to get customers. They pay outrageous commissions, because it's worth it for them. They'll pay 70 cent commission on the pair of sneakers. So now he's going to the store, and I will present him with the store. He already paid 50 cents to click on the advertisement that appears on the right side of Google. Now he's at the store, and when he's at the store, my toolbar detects he's at that store, and now I'll present him Nochamo, a pop-up with the store. The same exact stuff, but since it's now right in front of his eyes, anyway he wants to go there, he'll now make the purchase to me. And I didn't pay one penny for this. The only money that I paid was originally, I paid money to convince him to download my toolbar. So this is mamash a case of Ani Hamahapik Bicharara, what it says here. Ani Hamahapik Bicharara, here this person, the person who paid 50 cents, the owner of the store, he's Hamechazer Achar Dover Liknoisai, Oy Lisachro, I am going through extreme measures to convince a person to come into my store. And now he's in my store! There are many different categories. He's already in my store, and when he's in my store, I come along and I chap him! I chap! Here's a better store. You get the same product half price. Or you know what? Here's the store itself. But instead of using this card, use this card. In other words, just click here and you'll go through my tracking and I'll get the commission for the sale. So this is unethical. It's unethical. And there's no one stopping you from doing this. Because unlike in the real world, if I go into Macy's, I go into a shoe store, I go to St. Avenue J, and it's the competitor on the cross streets, walks into Macy's, and says, sir, what are you buying this shoe here? You want to come across the street. I'll sell you the same shoe for half the price. The person can go to jail for that. If you go into a store to buy a pair of shoes, and someone walks in and says, I have a store across the street, let me pull you out. Forget about ethics. You can take all the ethic books and put them in the garbage. The person can go to jail. You're violating laws. Uh-huh. These laws have been established in the real world. We don't have to deal with tzaddikim. But on the internet, it's a new frontier. The technology is not there.
They still do it.
The people who make the laws don't understand the technology. And every day the technology changes. And there's always a new loophole. There's always a new gimmick. And no new this, new that. And things are changing so fast. You don't have law to protect the people. The only thing that you have left in the internet marketing are ethics. And I can tell you as a fact, there are no ethics. There's zero zilch, and you have to do everything you can to protect yourself. And most of the people, they can't protect themselves, so they just rely on luck. It's all part of the cost of business. It's how many sales am I going to lose, not just from the fact that people are not going to buy. Are you making a question? How much am I willing to pay for an advertisement to get someone to come to buy into my store to buy a pair of sneakers? So until now, I was paying 50 cents. Because not everyone who comes and buys, only maybe 1 out of 20 will buy you the pair of sneakers. I have to now take into consideration, forget about the 1 in 20 who will buy, even from the 1 in 20 who will buy, 3 of those will be stolen, will be chapped by some unethical toolbar that will pull them out.
This problem's worse. You go into a store, the shoe store, you're going to buy, let's say, Reebok sneakers over here, $60. You pull out your phone, your smartphone, And you look up another country.
Exactly, on the spot.
So that's the law that the Bible
That's a new issue. Right. Their law is being enacted. Their law is being written. You can't do that. It's not fair. You come into a store. It's not for, what? In the store itself. In the store itself. You're sitting there in the store and you see a product. Oh, I want this. And you go and you just scan it with your smartphone. And right away it brings a price track and you order it online right away in the store. You press a few buttons and it's going to be shipped to your home the next day. That's not fair. You came into my store to discover a product, to buy it somewhere else.
But that's the new technology. You can't.
So how do you do it? So is that ethical? Is that ethical? Is it ethical?
This hot. So it's storekeeper. You're charging $3 for it. I can get it.
So many times, that's the new technique. The stores have no choice. We'll match the price. We'll match it. But some stores can't match it. You can't match Walmart. Walmart, they buy in bulk.
Of course.
You can't match their prices.
Of course not.
So the only thing is the shipping. I'll give you free shipping. So there's no. What do I need to buy it over here? I'll go buy it for
a local grocery.
So it's a very big problem.
That's when they go out of business.
That's the problem. So is a halachically. So they hear no one is holding you back. So what are you going to say? Is the halakha is going to adjust to the ethics? Standard times have changed. This is the Minhag Medina. This is the way the world works. So it's too bad for the store. Where do you draw the line? There's no answer to these questions. It's extremely difficult. And when anything that you'll pass in tomorrow will be outdated because society changes and technology changes and people's understanding of changes. You walk into a store, you set up a store. That's a very big problem.
That's another thing now on Amazon. Order,
yeah.
A lot of times it's a shipment from the Far East.
Yeah.
I ordered a battery for a grand order.
Okay.
And it's coming in a month and a half.
A month and a half, yeah,
I'm
I know.
Gone by then.
I know.
The battery is so much cheaper.
Yeah. Light bulbs.
What?
You can buy the LEDs. You have to be careful. You know, the LEDs cost like $30, $40. A good LED. You can buy from China for $2.
Oh, they started out at like $60. That you could buy now. I saw them sold in Home Depot for $14, $15.
When price went down, because they got it from China. But you have to wait a month.
Yeah.
You got to wait a month.
Coming by boat. If they airship it, then you're going to pay the full price.
There's more you'll pay.
Amazon doesn't months. Tell you
where it's coming
it
from.
It says it's being prepared for shipment the next day.
But it's not going to ship.
But, yeah, but once you click, I accept the order, it comes out, it's going to be shipped.
3 weeks. It's not fair. That's misleading. That's misleading. That's not proper. Okay, we'll stop here.
Estimated marriage.